Nurses and Hypochondriacs, the podcast that brings nurse experts, patients, and hypochondriacs together to discuss hot topics in healthcare. And here is your host, Ercilia Pompilio.
So our guests today are doctor and nurse couple. Our nurse has a bachelor's in science degree in nursing. She's a CCS. She's been a nurse for over 20 years. She's currently practicing as a clinical documentation improvement specialist and has practiced primarily in cardiac, critical care, and hospice nursing. She's also a nurse writer for allnurses.com. And our doctor husband today, he's a hospitalist and physician advisor. He's been practicing medicine for over 15 years in a variety of roles. Welcome, Sarah and Dr. Vaughn Madical. Is that how you say your name? Or is it Madicali Italian? Welcome, you guys. Welcome to the show. And you're coming to us from
South Carolina.
We're not in North Carolina. We're from somewhere else.
We're from Mars. Yeah.
He's from Mars. I'm from Venus. How's it go?
That's awesome. Well, welcome to the show. And so I want to hear your story. Tell us how you met. Sarah was telling me a little bit about how the two of you met. You met at a bar. So take us through that.
we had this kind of running thing, actually, or he did, especially when I first met him, and we did it for several years, even when we were dating, that he would never tell anyone he was a doctor. So I actually didn't know that that was what he was doing. So we would make up all these stories, because as soon as you tell somebody you're a doctor, I mean, you know, because you do the whole hypochondriac thing, everyone starts telling you all their crazy stuff. So we met at a bar. I didn't even know that, that was what you did. I don't think
we had mutual friends, and
It was supposed to be 80s karaoke night, and they each invited us out.
I love it. What song did you sing at your? Do you remember the song?
Anything. We know we did sing anything. And the bad part is, so I don't drink beer at all. And this place only serves beer. And it's like you have to be in combat boots or like, I don't even know, farm boots to be in there. They won't even give you a lime to put inside your beer, like, or a lemon. And so here I am carrying this warm, nasty beer around for the whole time, trying to pretend like I'm cool and drinking it. And
I did not drink the beer.
They didn't even have pretzels. Like, you couldn't even, like, eat a pretzel and, like, chug a little bit. Like, it just was bad. So we got talking about just whatever there. I think we were talking about building houses for some random reason. We started just small talking about building houses and what
we
would build.
Perfect way to start a relationship, talking about a house.
So we started, and so we're talking about whether you would build out of brick or stone, what was your sort of ideal dream house? And crazy as it is, we both said stone. We are building our second house as we speak, and neither one of them are made of stone. Neither one of them ever ended up being turned out and made into stone. But yeah, that's kind of part of our crazy. We're in a very small house right now with three kids and two dogs who are very hyper.
And two cats.
And two cats. And so you'll hear a lot of crazy.
And we both work from home.
So we met at Bub. Then and started talking to each other a little bit then, and then
she chased me for months.
No, yeah, that's where the change is completely from person to person. But he ended up, I wouldn't give him my phone number, so I told him that I did work in the unit and he was allowed to call me there in the ICU for a while. And then lo and behold, he comes coming through as a resident a month later or so into my CCU unit. So that's kind of when we started talking a little bit more, because we were working late nights together. I was working night shifts, and then we'd kind of hang out over, you know, in between patients and whatever was going on, get that and that kind of thing.
That's cool. Did you ever call him late night, like when he was on call and like at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and say, hey, you know what? This patient doesn't have a Tylenol order to wake him up out of bed. And then he's like, wait a minute, comes on in and, well, there is a Tylenol. Oh, sorry. Yeah, that's right. You know, that because that is that trick that nurses play on doctors that they don't like or that they're trying to mess with.
It's the stool softener.
Exactly.
Need colace. He's intubated, but he's complaining continuously that he has not had a bowel movement in a day and a half and needs a stool softener.
No, yeah. I think she liked me a little bit more than that.
Listen, no, but we had at that hospital, you could text paging. So I would text page, like, that was how we were back and forth then. So, yeah. So then, how long were you in that rotation?
That was just a month.
Yeah. So we kind of had our little 6 weeks there that we were working together in the unit. That was fun. We had a lot of fun. It was a little bit like Scrubs. I will say that month of time, it kind of was a little bit like, it really was. If you work in like a teaching hospital, these are all young people. Everybody's kind of young and fresh. And there's a lot of people kind of dating each other and interested in each other. And everybody kind of knows everybody else's business. So that kind of was a little bit like they televise it.
So did you start dating in that month? Did you have dates? Did you go out? Did you have a lot of lunches together?
No.
Would Dr. Vaughn bring you coffee on the unit?
Yeah. Yeah,
I do. Because that's always the telltale sign when the doctor.
We did. We would share dinners and we would share coffee and that kind of stuff up on the. Yeah, we did do that a fair amount. We didn't start dating until after that. We were definitely out of his rotation before we, you know, started dating.
My dating practices were non-conventional.
Yeah. What does that mean, non-conventional? Can you elaborate on that, Dr. Vaughn?
Oh my gosh! Yeah. So this is okay. So back to what? Let me.
Now, I want to hear about the non-conventional dating practices of Dr. Vaughn Medicali.
This is how you truly win a woman's heart.
Yeah. This is ridiculous. So, all right. So we worked in the same unit, and we had he spent a lot of time. They pretty much lived in the same unit. It was a CCU, so the patients are crazy sick, and so when they were on call, they were pretty much with us. And this was before call time was limited, so they were.
We were there
all the time with us, kind of hanging out all the time. And so my husband is quite the jokester and was always known for practical jokes. But this is how the five-year-old boy who likes the five-year-old girl comes out in him as we're talking to each other.
So I had a friend, and this is when, and you can edit this out if you don't like it. But
no, we like it all here at Nurses and Hypochondriacs. We let people be themselves. Yeah.
One of my friends had just bought this new item. It was a really interesting item. It was a remote control fart machine. And so, yeah, no, this is true. So what I did is our teams were very large. We probably had 20 to 30 people, medical students, pharmacy students, PharmDs, number of residents, interns. So what I did is I took that machine and I wrapped it up in a blue chuck. And I stuck it over at the nurse's station in between all of the books. And so I just left it there. And it was planted there the night before, and I left it. But I had the remote control in my pocket. And so the nurse's station is just off about 10 feet away from the radiology board. So all of the 30-people team would gather at the radiology board, and we'd review all of the x-rays. Well, the only person sitting at the nurse's station was my wife. Well, she wasn't my wife at the time. I'm not even sure we were dating.
No,
but I pushed that button until the battery went dead during radiology rounds, and it was the funniest thing ever.
And I could hear it going, and I'm like looking around. And now you need to understand, like, I grew up with two brothers and a dad who like do all sorts of crazy fart stuff. Like, they rev up and then they got a fart. I cannot not laugh, like, hysterically. So it makes me look guilty instantly. So he's pushing this button, the fart machine's going off. I'm laughing like crazy because it looks like now I've done it. And now it really looks like I've done it. I don't even know why I started dating him after that. That was part of our.
Oh my God, that is the best story ever.
That was one of many.
And she just fell for the farts. I mean, you're just like, this is it. You know, I think that is the best.
I knew that none of the other residents or interns were going to approach her after that day.
You are suave, let me tell you. Like, he was marking his territory, and then he was making sure that nobody attacked it. You know, because now you're like contaminated with C. diff or whatever with all these farts, you know.
So seriously, it was awful.
Yeah, that was one of the earlier dating moments. I think that was the highlight of the relationship.
No, unfortunately, I have many of those stories. But anyway, so I had always said that there was no way I was ever marrying a doctor. No way was I ever going to marry a doctor.
Like in nursing school, is that what everybody talked about? Oh, I can't wait to marry a doctor. Yes. I can't date a doctor.
I feel like they even say it now, you know, like when I was working on the floors and stuff after we were married, like I would hear nurses saying that was like their goal. That was their thing. You know, they were going to marry a doctor. And I was like, I did not want to marry a doctor. I didn't want the schedule. at all. I didn't want to deal with the calls in the middle of the night. I didn't want to deal with them leaving as I had screaming kids. Like, I had a pretty good understanding of like what they did. I just did not want that.
I didn't have a thought in mind at the time, but
he was just happy to marry anyone. It did not matter whether they were a nurse or
now.
Yeah, with his fart technique, you know, how many people are going to fall for that? It takes a special kind of woman. Especially a nurse, you know, that is going to deal with that, like the farts.
Well, knowing what I know now, I did not want to marry a nurse.
Why is that?
I didn't know that at the time. I know it now. I didn't know it.
No, you didn't want to marry this nurse, maybe. Is that the Jersey nurse? Maybe that's maybe more specific. You did not want to marry a New Jersey nurse.
Yeah, yeah.
So why don't you want to? Why didn't you want to marry a nurse? Like,
well, at the time, I did. But it's just, we've lived 30 or 40 years of marriage in like 15 years, it seems.
No, it's actually not bad. I didn't want to deal with it just because I didn't want to deal with the schedule. That was really more of it than anything else. And I didn't want to deal with that typical stereotype. And then, you know, it's funny because we were kind of talking about this a little bit more. I don't know that he's ever had any trouble from anybody at work in terms of, like, we've worked together a fair amount. Like, we have been in places where we work together. When we relocated after residency, we worked together in the ICU there. We sort of work together now. And so I don't know that it's done anything bad for you or you've had anything. We've got a smoking hot wife. So, I mean,
exactly. I mean, from Jersey.
So, right. Exactly. From Jersey. So
no one's going to touch you.
Yeah. But I, on the other hand, deal with an awful lot of garbage. It's more on me than it is on him.
I would marry a nurse again.
This nurse again.
Yes. This nurse again.
So you've worked together. You brought that up. At several hospitals through several years. Take us through those relationships. What is that like? I mean, is there a lot of people gossiping on the unit? Is there people that are uncomfortable? Or is it people like, there's your husband. You know what your husband did to me again? You know these orders? Like, I can't even read them.
Yeah. You know? No, I get it.
Wait, hold on. I really make mistakes.
So I did get it. I got it a couple times. I still get it to this day. When I was getting it before, it was the same thing. Can you just call your husband up and get this order for me? Can you just, because he's not answering my pages, can you just call him and get this order for me? No, that's not how this works. That's the first thing. And then I would get it definitely where people thought that I had some sort of in or that I was, or I love the whole, like, they're just not nice to you because they think somehow that you're on some different level. Like, I wipe the same butts as they wipe. Like, it doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, it's not any different, and yet they somehow...
She's the doctor's wife. The nurse doctor wife.
I'm like, well, if I'm still here working, like, you know, that kind of thing. And then now we had it just recently where I was just reviewing and had an issue with it.
I love it. Sorry, those are your kids?
That's one of them.
Well, what's going on?
The room where the cats are closed in. We have
the cats are freaking out.
Poor cats. They have one little room in this tiny little place. And so we keep the dogs out of there. This rescue dog hasn't quite figured out yet that there are like actually cats in the house. So he'll get a little whiff of them once in a while. And if you leave the door open, he sees them and so they get excited. So needless to say, we've got screaming kid. Come say hi.
That's awesome. Hi, what's your name?
Say your name.
Morgan.
Morgan, nice to meet you. I'm Ursilia.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey. So come back, Morgan, since you're dad. Do you want to be on the podcast, Morgan?
Hey.
So do you like your mom and dad being doctor and nurse? Do you know what that's all about? Do you know who's who? Like, who's in charge at your house? Who's the boss?
Your mom. So he asked who's in charge of this house. Morgan said mommy. That's for sure, right? So
Morgan's not going to get any ice cream when she's out with dad.
No, that's not true. Daddy's the one.
No cats
were harmed.
Okay.
No cats were harmed during making up this podcast.
All right. And here comes another face. Marshall.
Hi. What's your name, Marshall?
All right. Say hi and then pop back out, guys. Hi. That's Mitchell, Marshall, and Morgan. We got a theme going here.
Daddy.
I'm live.
Oh, you got the M's.
So yeah, M's, Mitchell, M's.
Mitchell, Marshall, and Morgan.
And then all of the dogs and cats have M names as well. So it's quite confusing in that house. But yeah, so wait, Daddy does what?
Daddy's the one that most likely gives me ice cream.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Not anymore.
Yeah. So do you know how nurses and doctors work together?
Yeah.
Who is the one who, like, how does it work when they work together in a hospital?
Like, the nurse, it comforts. The nurse, like, it comforts the patient, and then it sometimes gets the medicine, and then the doctor does, like, all the surgery and then checks the patients out and stuff like that.
Pretty close.
She's
along with you in Hollywood, I think, more than she does anywhere else.
So do you, before, when I started practicing as a nurse almost 20 years ago, doctors would bring their kids on the unit whenever they would do rounds. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was so neat to watch them, you know, and they knew what was going on. You know, they were super smart. They'd sit there. We give them coloring books and crayons, and because I always worked in pediatrics, so we always had that stuff. Mm-hmm. And they would know. They're like, "Yes, doctor's checking his femur patient in room 2. I have to just wait here. We're gonna go and do. We're gonna go to the fair after this, but I just have to sit and wait. You know." So it was cool. But I know with HIPAA and everything that there, several hospitals are not allowed. Are you allowed to bring your children to work with you?
We've never tried. I think there's so much funk there that grows everywhere that I don't think we were kind of like, I don't know how we're gonna bring them in, but
we're the most funkiest
we decided. But no, but our kids know way more than probably the average bear when it comes to medical.
You posted on your Facebook that your kids were playing Wounded Soldier, and I saw their bandages. That was pretty good.
Yeah,
they,
I know.
Did they just do that on their own? Did you teach them how to do those bandages?
Oh, no, they do them on their own. Bye. Go. Say goodbye. Then head out.
Bye.
Nice to meet you guys.
No, we have so many stories in terms of, like, you know, when one of them trips and falls, they don't just say, like, I bumped my leg. It's like, I hit my femur and I've got a hematoma growing as we speak. And I mean, they're so dramatic.
And then they try to go and treat it. They go in your bag, right?
They like know all the words and they know all the stuff, and then they know
the,
like,
medications too. To
just
give.
This morning, just now, we had an issue where Mitchell hit his head and said that he had a headache. So we're like, okay, he said, I'd like some Tylenol. So he said, fine. So he's got Junior Strength Tylenol.
We had a dosage argument. He's like, well, no, my dose would be this. We're like, no.
We're like,
this is what the package says.
And then he's like, I weighed myself at school and I am 75 pounds and that's the next weight level for this. And so that's what I need. And we're like, listen, you can get away with less. It's just fine. Like, you don't need the full dosing amount. Well, the package says I need.
This is what's recommended.
We have, like, full arguments in our house about medical stuff. And I'm like, gosh, like, we told you what we're doing here. Like, and they said, yes, this all the time. They know better somehow.
Yeah, we'll get to kids' stories another time.
Oh, that is a whole.
That's another.
A nurse doctor with kids, awful. Especially since we don't practice pediatric medicine. Oh, y'all in our whole nother world there. Like.
Oh my God. So do your kids go around diagnosing people all the time? Like, say, at the car wash or at the park?
They know, you know, it's kind of funny because we had a cute story with Morgan where, was I pregnant with Marshall maybe? Vaughn was working a shift, of course. It's usually when all crazy stuff happens. He's in the middle of working a shift. And I had the two kids. I must have been pregnant with Marshall. And we were getting ready to leave somewhere. Morgan tripped and fell into the corner of the cabinet, of course, and, like, ended up with this big old gash in her head like this. So we are the crazy people who started having kids late. So we decided, let's get the crazy done all at once. So we'll bang out 3 kids in 3 years. And so get the chaos out of the way. And so Mitchell's small, Morgan's small. She's got a big gash in her head. I'm trying to round up everyone, get them all in the car, get them all there. And then I'm like, what am I going to do? She needs stitches. But, like, he's working in another county. I'm like, what are we going to do? So thankfully we have friends who are all radiologists. And they're like, we'll just take Mitchell down with us to read some x-rays. So needless to say, that boy can spot, I think it was mammogram day.
Yeah.
So he can spot a breast cancer and just about anybody.
And so then after that.
He's a boob man.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know his specialty.
Yeah. So they let him mark him up, didn't they?
He had a wax pencil. He was circling things. And
he has since then decided that he actually told you. Remember how he was upset about who he wanted to be most like?
So I said, we were talking to him in bed, and this was probably a month or two later. And, you know, it was kind of one of those good night, son, and, you know, good moments. And he said, Dad, when I grow up, I want to be a doctor. Just like, and he said my friend's name, who's a radiologist.
I love it.
I'm like,
yeah.
I was like, I was like on top of the world, and then all of a sudden, pop, my balloon was
gone. But although knowing him as he's grown, that's the kind of doctor he needs to be, because blood and guts come out, and then
he's radiologist
is where he needs to be.
Radiologists are they're in their own little world. They're very interesting. I dated one who was also an artist. Let me tell you, he literally had three girls going. I was one of them, three ladies dating at the same time. I was number two. I was a Saturday girl that I later found out because I dated his cousin, who was best friends with my ex-husband.
Were you dating the cousin and the radiologist at the same time?
No, I dated them like a year apart because it was a radiologist cousin. I'll pipe in my story real quick. Radiologist cousin, I met him online. We started dating. His dad was a producer. He lived in Venice by the beach right on the canals. It was great. And he would always brag about how amazing he was. And the thing that he would do is when I would go to the bathroom, he would go through my purse. Yeah, so I would leave my purse there. He'd go through my purse and I would catch him. I was like, why are you going through my purse? He's like, oh, I'm just trying to get to know you better. So then I found him going through my car. Because I would leave him, you know, to go get something or to pump, or he would start pumping gas, or I would go around or something. And then I would find him going through my car. And then when we would go and sit and eat at a restaurant, I would leave to go to the bathroom. He'd eat the rest of my food or drink the rest of my wine that was sitting there. So radiologists are very interesting. They're an interesting breed of doctors. A year later, I dated his cousin who was a chef. He was half Italian, half Nicaraguan chef. And I wanted to get back at this guy because I had found out I was number two. He ended up marrying the pediatrician. So he was dating a pediatrician. He was dating me, the pediatric nurse practitioner, and he was dating someone else. So I was in the running to get married. So I was number two. So then he ended up marrying the pediatrician. Now he's twins. So his cousin, I bet you this is his cousin. And so I dated him on purpose because I just wanted to know. And I wanted revenge, of course. And so we started dating, and it ends up, I'm talking to this guy. I'm like, hey, is so-and-so your cousin, Dr. So-and-so? And he's like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, oh, how weird. And then I go, how is it that you're half Italian, half Sicilian, and half Nicaraguan? He's like, oh, well, my dad immigrated from Sicily with his best friend, and he says his best friend's name. And I was like, wait a minute, that's my ex-father-in-law's name. I go, that's kind of bizarre. He's like, oh, wait a minute, you're so-and-so's wife? And I'm like, his parents, this guy's parents, the Sicilian Nicaraguan chef, had come to my wedding.
No.
Yes.
How did that happen?
Yes, they were best friends. He grew up with this chef grew up with my ex-husband. They as kids. Yeah, it's just a small world. So we dated very casually. We were more like friends, but and then I ended up confronting the radiologist one day who was not dating his fiance. He had another resident that he was with at this opening. Oh yeah, he was kind of a ladies' man. Very smoothly. But that's my little story. So
So when you went to the bathroom and you were dating him, did he go through your refrigerator and spice cabinet?
Yeah, he never came over to. At that time, I was in between. I was purchasing my townhome, so I was living with my parents, and he kept wanting to come over to my parents' house. And because he was a doctor, my parents so wanted to meet him. They're like, they were so excited that I was dating a doctor, and I was just like, I'm not sure, because I knew I kind of had an inkling that there were other people. But I was Saturday girl, and I got to go to the house on the Venice canals like on Saturdays and stay the weekend, it was great. And he would call me if he was sick. So
see, I think though it would be way more intimidating to date a chef to me if you like to cook. Like I just claim, I don't cook. Vaughn actually, I think it's the Italian thing. Like just he does the cooking. He's great at it. It would be what he would do probably. If you weren't a doctor, I think that's probably what you would enjoy doing.
So, Vaughn, you're Italian. So is that your background?
Yeah. The name was Maticola before the family came to this country.
And I say it Maticoli. It's Maticola. You guys say it Maticola.
It's Matical, like radical. Like we're so radical.
So you're saying how
Is that what, how your kids say it? They're like, it's medical, like radical. Is that how you taught them?
You started to teach them that because they get so annoyed that no one says their name right.
So you were saying that your parents were excited you were dating a doctor.
Yes.
You would not believe how disappointed Sarah's mother was that she was dating a doctor.
Is that true? Take us through that.
I was afraid to. No, not why. Not why.
She wasn't. She likes me now, kind of.
No,
she didn't like you in the beginning?
No, they did. So you can't see this from us sitting down, but there's about a 5-inch height difference. My husband is about 5 inches shorter than I am. And so it is a matter of you have to get over yourself slightly when you are the taller female. And get past that. Well, my mom and she I don't think she's quite there yet. We've been married for like 15 years and my mom's 5'10". I'm 5'8". And so it was like, well, but he's shorter than you. But I mean, how are you going to work that? I mean, can you wear heels? I mean, like, what are you going to do? I mean, he's shorter than you. And it was that. It was literally as like surface and like she couldn't look past any of that. She likes him now, which is fine, but even still.
We have fighting dogs right here next to you.
I love your household.
Oh my God. This is us.
Really? Come on, well, come on. There's plenty of room.
You know, there's not plenty of room, but you're welcome to come. my word. Also, all the time.
I tell you what, let's trade it for a week.
Yeah. We could use a vacation. Back to where we're leaving. We're supposed to be going to Colorado. My mother's coming to watch this crazy house while we go out of town. We love medical conferences.
They're great. You can go all over the place and it's a tax write-off.
Eat good food.
You can eat good food, spend like 5 minutes at the conference and then go to a bar and have much better conversation.
So, you know, we were talking like about the whole thing now. So now working in CDI, doing my CDI stuff, I was back and forth talking with a coder about why we kind of disagreed on what should be the principal diagnosis and so on. And so one of the doctors,
I can try.
The dog's going to tell you what the principal diagnosis should be.
So my husband oversees a program, and a good number of the physicians that he works with are good friends of his who were fantastic at this type of job. And so as they were creating the positions, he was like, hey, this one would be great. Hey, that one would be great. And so they sort of created a whole team of wonderful doctors that are friends also. So they're mutual friends of both of ours. So anyway, so this was a doctor who disagreed with me and the coder in terms of what was what and back and forth. And so I happened to say, well, I asked Vaughn what his opinion on the case was. And she kind of got online. She's like, no, I don't want you to upset the two. I don't want you to put the two doctors against each other and like get them all upset. Like you can't show this stuff to Vaughn. And I was like, well, no, it's okay. Like, they're kind of all easygoing. Like she was really upset that I had asked his opinion on whatever it was. And then it was like this whole big taboo that, you know, I asked him and maybe she wasn't going to check with me from now on. Like, and, you know, I found that the nurses or the coders and stuff won't talk to me about certain cases and things because they're afraid of whatever I'm going to say to him.
Yeah, I don't ever have trouble with that. Even when I was working in the hospital, I just pretend that she's not my wife.
So how do you do that? Do you start hitting on the other nurses? You're like, hey.
What's so funny is I
pretend I'm married, just not to her.
We can go places and no one puts us together because of the height difference. So we often have always pretended to not be like together. Like we'll go places. He's always embarrassed of me. Always.
Oh, because the way she is right now is actually about 4 notches down in intensity than she is in public. Yeah. So. Yeah, sometimes you just got to have a little space.
You need to understand about Vaughn. So Vaughn's like, he was an engineer before and then medical school. He's like very concrete, very black, white. Like I'm all like, ooh, butterflies, sunshine, rainbows. Let me go that way. Let me go this way. And I'll tell you a story the whole way about it. And like, you know, just my arms are going and everything's crazy. I draw a ton of attention to myself and he's all like trying to hide and like not have attention. And we stand out as it is because of the height difference. Yeah. So it is interesting that way. But we were talking about coffee. This was also kind of a funny story, and you can choose to edit this or not. But so part of our little like dynamic, he has always said that I'm like Lucille Ball.
I can kind of see that. I can kind of see that. So is Dr. Vaughn always like, Lucy?
Like, yeah, Lucy, all the time. Okay.
This so is all set up.
Exactly. So I get all these great ideas. I'm like, this makes
sense. She thinks it through.
I do.
She'll think it through and she'll be like, okay, this makes sense. I'm going to do it.
And it ends in catastrophe nearly every time. But I will tell you, it is incredibly fun and I laugh the whole way and it's a good time. And his life would be very boring without me. However, so he's always called me Lucy. It's like a little running thing. So we start working at this new small hospital. When we left the big university hospital, we came to work in a small hospital together. It's very tiny. A lot of these nurses have been nurses for like 25 years. They still got up when the doctors came in to the room. They got up and got out of their chairs so that the doctors could sit in them. And then here comes me and my crazy
New Jersey
self, you know, like, and coming from a teaching hospital where I'm used to kind of offering input and like, you know. So anyway, they didn't know what to do with us to start with. And so he comes into the unit and he brings me a cup of coffee and he has written on the coffee, Lucy, to my Lucy. That is what he wrote on it, to my Lucy. Okay. So we know what that means between each other, but not having been from the South, little did we know until we came to this unit that Lucy is the girl part word of the South. So when he wrote to my Lucy, they were like, oh, she's like staking claim on your hoo-hoo. Like what he wrote on there. Like, and so forever it was like, and everyone was like all upset. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that.
I was not the favorite doctor in her unit that day.
No. Like they were like, no,
she was staking claim to her hoo-hoo. Like, yeah, what's up with that?
We didn't even know.
Like, all these feminists in the South over there.
No,
we had no idea. It took us a day or two to figure out that
was the problem.
That was
everyone's issue.
It was lost in translation.
That was not good. But yeah, to my Lucy.
I didn't write that ever again.
No, we didn't say that anymore. It offended a lot of people.
Oh my gosh, that's a great story. I love that.
Yeah, one of many, but
it's awesome. You're a great storyteller. Excellent. This is really great interview. Very fun. So both of you met in where, New York or?
No, we met
in North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Okay. So how did you get to North Carolina? How did both of you get to North Carolina? Were you doing your residency there?
I did. My folks were going to retire in North Carolina somewhere, and they were going to retire in a few years. So I had a good friend from medical school who was training in North Carolina. He loved it. So I came down. I loved it. And once you get down here, it's hard to go back to snow and ice and shoveling and, you know, negative 20 degree wind chill factors.
And you had to get to work in that. Like when I was in New Jersey, they would send state troopers to come and get you, to take you to work. So it couldn't be like, oh, I'm snowed in, I can't get there. Like they would send emergency personnel. Yeah. And then you had to bring enough clothes to like stay for however long the snowstorm lasted. So needless to say, I mean, neither one of us liked that. I came down with a friend, liked the area. Raleigh is a really young, hip city that is full of all sorts of professionals. So it's not just medical. There's a lot of medicine throughout that whole RTP area, but a lot of, you know, and a lot of pharmaceuticals, a lot of tech, a lot of everything. So it's just kind of a young, fun city with
there's lots to do.
Lots to do. Lots of culture, lots of arts, lots of restaurants.
This is a job for a nurse. She's going.
She has to break up the dogs.
No, she's going to nurture them.
She's going to. Yeah. Oh, that's right. She had a problem with the dog, right? Because she was nursing the dog a little bit too much. Tell us about that.
Yeah.
we'll see. I'm gonna do it right now.
We'll see how this goes. Well, yeah, because she will anticipate the puppy's needs before the puppy knows he has needs. And then she is always giving love, regardless of the behavior. She'll correct the behavior and then give love, which is saying, you know what? That behavior is going to get you personal contact and attention. And so all of these bad behaviors, he got love for. So it just kept building until every bad behavior a puppy could have had been rewarded with pets and dog treats and hugs and love.
This way, there's four other people in this house that get the same bonus from that. The same goes for you and the kids, whatever the case is.
Everybody unconditional love.
It helps me.
Oh, it does.
We're not the puppy.
I tell you what, I swear, I say that they all bark. So all four of them, in addition to the dogs, bark and say something, and then mommy.
We finally had to have a dog whisperer come in. This is no joke. We had to.
Dog whisperer.
Well, he's not local. He had to drive 45 miles to get to us.
He did.
And he sat down, and in 2 minutes, he said, "I know what the problem is here." It's you.
He did too. He called me right out, right in my couch, said, "Let me guess, my living room.
Are you a nurse?" She said.
So does he have problems with nurses and dogs all the time? Is this very common? Is that what he said?
It was a common theme to the issues we were having. Were it was with people who are trying to anticipate and care and give love. And not be too hard on the, you know, making sure.
It's not that I'm a warm and fuzzy all the time. Like, so I'm going to get that straight.
Yeah, no, that's a very true statement.
I'm not a warm and fuzzy all the time, but it was like, okay, I got to do some work. So he's like barking at me, carrying on or whatever. So let me try and figure out all the things he might need so that I can leave the room. You know, it's like when you're leaving your patient's room, let me make sure you've got a straw. Let me make sure you've got ice water. Let me make sure you've gone to the bathroom. Let me make sure you've got
and much like the patients, that dog calls you back. Like as soon as you leave, calls you back. Boom. On the call line.
Codes. So that was exactly how this went down with the dog, and so I've become a little bit harder. I'm doing better with that now, but yeah. So we both got down here and then met each other in Chapel Hill. But again, like
at the
bar at Bluffs. So anyway, so that was how we did that, and then both decided that we liked it down here for sure. Had to make some decisions when he came out of residency where we were going to go, but the weather's great. It's a good place to raise family. It's a nice, mellow, lots of culture, lots of arts and stuff around us. So we like the area.
It's mellow sometimes. We do have some New Jersey that came with us.
Yeah.
you got to add that spice to life. Her Lucy, you know, you got to have that Lucy to make life interesting. His life
would be very boring, very, very boring without me.
We could have the Lucy show still running. Uh-huh. It still runs in our house all the time. You should see our minivan. There's a story behind every scratch and dent. She backed up out of a parking space, backed up and smashed the front end of the van in. How you do that, I don't know. But she did it.
I did too.
But then she ends up at a body shop and negotiating and talking and,
And I went in spandex. I was then, because like there's like mom gear. There's mom gear for the Southern mom. So it involves.
What is the Southern fashion for the Southern mom?
Well, it's just your workout wear, but you wear it all the time. So whether you work out or don't work out. So you put on your little spandex because they're, you know, it's forgiving. They feel forgiving. Let's put it that way. I don't know that they look forgiving.
In California, we call them yoga pants.
So
yeah, yoga pants.
We're still a little more uptight.
We're very yoga and zen here.
Yeah. We've got a little yoga here, but I can't relax.
We call them spandex.
We're more biscuit here. Yeah, we're like biscuit pants.
Maybe they're not yoga, they're biscuit. So you wear your little spandex everywhere you go. And so I actually do genuinely work out. So I had left, I crashed at the gym is where I crashed. And so I'm like, okay, I got to get this fixed. I go down to the body shop and I'm like, talking to the guy, completely mortified that like I backed up and then still took out the front end of my car on this very stationary telephone pole. And so as I'm talking to him and all this is going on, like he's like, I'll just have my guy look at it. And so he has the guy look at it and he's like, well, here, I can fix this for you. And he doesn't even charge us. So I'm like, well, rock on, right? So, but as we're talking, he's like, so the only thing is, he's like, so next week when you crash the car again, he's like, just come back and see me again.
Whoa.
Well,
you know,
I crashed it next week. Makes me go back to the same guy. I'm mortified. Tell you, listen, I'm not going back to that guy again. He's like, no, you are going to march your butt down. You crashed twice in 1 week. You're going to go back down to that same guy again.
This is one of those Lucy moments where she's like, I thought about it.
He manifested it. I mean, he told you. He cursed you. He's like, I know you're going to crash it. He's like the psychic. He's the car fixing guy psychic, right? The auto body shop psychic.
The two times I've crashed. So, but the crazy part is
that's the two times she crashed that were bad enough to make phone calls about.
Well, all right. So, but anyway, so I go back to the guy again and he's like, I cannot believe you're here again. And I'm like, yes. And I'm like, and now my van door won't close. This is like the door. This is like the mom entrance. Like it's the door that like the kids get in and out of in the car line, which is like a crazy thing anyway. But like, so you know, the car door doesn't open and close and whatever. He's like, well, I'll have my guy look at it. And do you know he didn't charge me a whole second time? I was like, listen.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Yeah, I would have said the same thing.
I was like, you don't say anything about it again. It's the spandex. I'm convinced of it. But I'm like.
I wore spandex. He charged me full price.
They charged him double. See here. It was awful. But we have some of the stuff too we were saying about being parents of a doctor nurse, that's a whole, you have to do one on that. We first birthed Mitchell as our first.
Wait, so us being parents or our parents?
No, I don't think that's true. But no, our, so that's awful too. You can do a whole thing about.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I know about that one.
Parents with issues, but no, the kids. So Mitchell comes out, and you would know way more about this than I am, because again, we are not pediatricians. Neither one of us have done pediatric medicine. It's not our thing. So Mitchell comes out of the womb, and like, he's probably maybe 3 weeks old. He's totally agitated. Vaughn's outside mowing the lawn. I'm like holding him as I'm trying to kind of soothe him and feed him and do whatever. And I'm looking down into his beautiful crystal blue eyes, and I realize that one pupil is like ginormously dilated, and the other one is completely. Well, so I'm like, oh, he's had a stroke. Yeah. We have a brain tumor. Oh my gosh. And so I'm screaming his name out the door, and Vaughn comes in, and we look at the kid, and we're like, oh my gosh, we run right to our pediatrician, and it's just a thing he's born with. Turns out his brother's got the same thing.
Yeah, and the pediatrician noticed it when he was born. He just
apparently didn't choose to tell us that, waited until we could figure it out for ourselves. So,
Did not think to bring it up to a nurse and doctor. Didn't say, hey, you know what, by the way, I noticed this little thing. I just didn't want you to get freaked out. No, didn't think. I was like, I'm just not going to say anything.
So then after that, it literally was, well, just tell your anesthesiologist and your soccer coach that this is his issue, and he'll have it for the rest of his life. Here you go, pat.
So for medical emergencies, if I'm not there, she usually does pretty well.
Good.
If I'm there, she just runs in circles. Well, with like her hands going up, screaming, just true. Running in circles. Because we had our second one. She aspirated.
Like at a week old. Like not even a week.
And aspirated, and she got
and
a
she
plug.
Stopped. And she got a plug. She stopped breathing.
So she stopped breathing.
Oh, wow. And
so she's running around in circles screaming.
I cried. I had two phones. I had one phone with the neighbor who I needed to come watch the older son. And then I had the other one was 911. And literally, I just ran around in a circle. Seriously, no joke, ran around in a circle. First of all, upset with myself for why I could not cope with this, because I'm a nurse and should be able to. And then, so I'm screaming into two phones. Come help us. But he's doing CPR completely on his own with that.
Well, yeah, I was clearing the airway and all this stuff. And she just ran in a circle. But how we justify that is, very good nurses run in very small circles. They're not big circles.
That's a good one.
You can tell the quality and the skill and the training by the radius of the circle. Her radius was very small. She was doing a great job.
So and then our second one was a breath holder. So we didn't know that either. We were up in Farmer Phil's cabins up in upstate New York. There is, you don't get cell signal, you get nothing up there. And we're up there.
There's no electric.
There's just a generator. You got to go outside, pull on it, get the generator going. We think this is some great idea to do this with our kids. So we get up there and like, we are cried out parents. So think as awful of us as you want, but we are cried out parents. And so we, you know, put them in their crib, and they're fantastic sleepers now, I promise you. Well, anyway, so we kind of put Marshall in his crib and we set him up there, and like, he didn't even get to the sort of cries. He just kind of got really quiet quickly. So we go upstairs, and of course he's blue and like
in collapse.
Being collapsing. And so once again,
we're in the woods with no phone signal.
911 couldn't figure out where we were. By the time we figured out how to get on that, we had to literally drive the kid like down the road to like get the ambulance to meet us down there. And then basically looked at him and said, everything looks fine.
Oh yeah. Your kid's a breath holder. Like,
your kids just came into this world. They're like, you know what?
Yeah.
Our mom's a nurse and our dad's a doctor. Yeah. We're just gonna play some tricks on them, you know, and just test them. See.
Watch me take a stroke. You're gonna love it.
So then we start school this year, right? So our little breath holder goes years. We had a big run of it in the beginning, like his first little life, and it was real clear that was just all it was. So then we have years, it goes by, it's fine. We hit first grade for some reason, and the poor kid, like we call him the house troll. He is an angel out in public.
We did borrow that term.
We did. He is an angel in public. Beautiful, sweet, beautiful child. We get home, dude. Like, the other two will start talking to him, and like, they talk in like fancy talk, whatever. Marshall just punches you straight in the face. He's like, we're not even going to discuss this. I'm just going to punch you. You need to shut up. Like, that's third kid for you, right? And so, and then we're the parents who are like, I told you, first two kids, you should just not mess with them.
We could debate about this all day, but if I punch you, it's going to be over a lot quicker.
It's just going to stop. So this is Marshall. So it is all he can do to hold it in during the day, during a school day, right? So he's there. He's trying so hard. He's taking his little math test. He's trying to do the best he can do. He's holding all this anxiety in. And it's called a DFO down here in the South. You done fell out. So he just,
I love that.
DFO, you'll actually find it on a medical chart. It'll actually say DFO, you done fell out. He DFO'd right there in class, fell right out, pops right back up again, gets in his seat. you know, doesn't say anything about it. So this year, his new teacher, I said, okay, well, you know, he has this, he's, you know, prone to doing this apparently as he's getting a little more anxious about showing it. So she wants me to write this action sheet out. I need to write, because school nurses don't exist anymore. So they don't have them. So she says, okay, I need you to write down, if he has this, what you want me to do. So it's kind of like, okay, this is not like an EpiPen thing. This is not like a bee sting. So give him a shot of EpiPen, like send him on his way. I'm like, there's like a thousand reasons he could fall out that are not related to breath holdings. And you're going to just ask me to say, just call mom and let her talk on the phone with you. Like, just, you're not going to do anything with it. So it turns into this whole big drama of like what we do, how we work this out.
Huh? Slap him in the face.
I know, right? So I'm going to like write out. So
hold on. Okay, he wants us to wiggle his tooth right now.
I'll wiggle his tooth. Yeah, hold on a second.
We got a loose tooth. Oh, it's an emergency.
Get it going. Wiggle that bugger out. We need some money. So, so this was the problem with nurse doctor. So we get home and I'm just got this paper in front of me and it's like, okay, if you see this, this is what you're supposed to do.
I thought what we should write was, drag him to the curb, call mom and dad. Just leave him out there. We'll come get him. It'll be all fine.
So we're like discussing this. And so finally I'm like, we can't. I mean, I cannot. There's nothing I can write down. I'm going to have to go in and talk to this lady. So I go in and talk to her and I'm like, and she's like freaking out, like that he's going to do this in class. And what are we going to do about this and whatever? I'm like, listen, most of the time it's fine. But like, he's only been alive for like 7 years. There's no real pattern here yet. Like, I don't have an established like pattern of behavior. So I was like, I can't exactly tell you what to do. So she's getting on her. I said, listen. She goes, so as we're talking, she goes, well, what do you guys do with this at home? I'm like, well, we're a nurse and a doctor. So, of course, we're going to check, make sure he's breathing and make sure he's.
Stick a pulse socks on him. Make sure he's above 98%.
So, you know, so this is what we're going to do. No, thank you, Morgan. So I'm like, you know, this is how we do it. And she's looking at us like we're crazy. So then as we end up talking through this whole thing, she goes,
I wonder why she's looking at us that way.
This sounds an awful lot like the seizure response team we have here at school. I'm like, yeah. Yes, you have a response team for something. I don't care what it is. If you've got trained people that are trained, put them on that thing. I'm like, put them on a seizure response team's list.
Seizure response team?
Yes. So the seizure response team, it's awesome. Yeah. So teachers apparently they've gone through training to learn how to assess their respirations and their pulses.
They do the ABCs.
The ABCs. And so we're like, okay, rock on. This is as close as we're going to get to like what we would be able to do for him if he were here. So like, either way, that's what we ended up with. So more kids on the seizure response team. List of kids now. All he's only got anxiety. That's all it is. But either way, he's on the seizure response team. So we're like, yeah, we need to assess him. Like, this is the problem with nurse doctor parents.
One of the problems.
That's great. Well, this has been such an amazing discussion. I've loved your stories. Put it all together into, you know, what kind of advice would you give anybody seeking to marry a nurse or to marry a doctor? Like, what are your points of wisdom?
Well, I think you guys
can we honestly in our hearts recommend it to be?
No, I think.
Would you recommend it?
No, you know what I think? I think you genuinely have to sort of stay out of each other's space. I had to make a specific point because it's tough to sit and listen to somebody who's griping about whatever order your husband wrote and not want to defend that. Mm-hmm. So I think you sort of, and he is the same way, you have to sort of leave each other to do what you're doing at work separate. Like you know, he's his own entity there. I'm not married to him there. He's, you know what I mean? Like we have to sort of separate each other out.
Very professional. If we're in a situation where we're working together and it's if you did not know, you would not know that we were married.
I think so. I think you need to stay out of each other's, you know, mm-hmm. space and like that. At home, I think it's very beneficial. I have learned a ton because there's a number of things as a nurse where I would be like, well, why wouldn't they give me morphine for that? Like the patient's in pain. I've asked for morphine. They've not given me morphine. Like we're all quick to judge the doctor as to why he's done what he's done. And then I get home and I'm like, you want to hear this of a doctor today that said this, this, and this. And he's like, actually, this is why. And then he goes on to explain it. And I'm like, ah. So then I have to hold myself back at work when I'm at work now and all the nurses are griping.
But I think we do bring understanding back to our peers.
Yeah, so, actually.
Where if I hear him, somebody griping about, you know, the ICU nurses, I'd say, well, you have to understand this is the perspective. This is what's going on there. And so
we do both of us.
We kind of defend each other to our
or defend each other's professions as well. That's great. Yeah,
I think so.
So, but yeah, I think we could recommend.
Well, and then we had one other actually that is try and be as quick as I can about this story. That was a really good perspective, I think, for both of us. It was a big, big learning curve. So Mitchell, the oldest one with the crazy eyeball, is our asthmatic kid. So they wanted to do a bronch on him to make sure that there wasn't an M&M or something hanging in there for his first like year and a half. He was just so easy on the
Lego. Or like
so I know exactly or whatever. So they want to do a bronc on him. So we do the bronc on him. I'm just a wreck that we're even going to do this bronc on him. And so we do the bronc, and they bring us back into the room when he's recovering, kind of waking up a little bit. So it took him a little longer to kind of pop his sats around. He wasn't quite coming to like he was supposed to. So Vaughn, who unfortunately even at the time was going through a horrible bout of vertigo himself, but he stood, honest to goodness, this is the truth, in the far back corner of the room. And here I am, like, literally hovering over my sweet baby boy, and I'm watching his sets, and I'm watching him, and I'm looking at his color, and I'm doing all of the things that I do as a nurse to do what I do. And we got into probably one of the biggest arguments we've ever had in our life, because to me, I was like, why are you not here hovering
She's
over
like, why
our
are
child?
You,
why
are you why
not
don't
nurturing
you care about
him?
This?
Why are you not hearing about him? Why are you not, you know, here?
She's doing the and dog she, thing. She's doing the dog thing.
So what we came to figure out was...
In her respect, yeah, like she's doing the hover mother thing, which is normal, and the nursing.
She was being the nurse. I was being the nurse. Yeah. And so when we kind of discuss a little bit further, we realized that
what
like
I
when,
did is I positioned myself. Code, yeah, I positioned myself in code position. I was at the bottom of the bed. I could see the monitor. I could see all of the people up here working.
Yeah,
I could
doing see the doctor thing. Yeah.
I was doing the doctor thing. And so I was down there so that I could see 100% of everything in the room that was going on with my son. So I was in all business mode. She was in 100% nurse mode. And we didn't really...
We were very upset. Like
We were upset with each other.
We were upset with each other for a while.
Until we understood, we talked about it and kind of figured out why we were doing what we were doing.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Should have been in parent mode.
Really?
Wow. Which is hard to do. It's mm-hmm. it's really hard to do when you're at the bedside, especially like I have elderly parents. So I try to take a step back and I don't tell anybody that I'm a medical professional until, you know, I need to step forward. I start speaking healthcare speak, and they're like, wait a minute,
you have not.
You know, who are you? What are you? Uh-huh. You know, so it's really interesting. When I start talking shop.
Yeah, it was that was a pretty big eye-opening day for us. And I think we've looked at that since then over all of the years of raising the kids and stuff like that to understand each other's personalities, and that we're sort of born into our professions, I think, to some extent, that he's a little bit able to sort of separate emotionally and kind of stand back and take in the situation and realize where the best, you know, plan of, you know, care might be, where mine is just to nurture, to handhold, to wipe face, to, you know what I mean? Like, it's just a completely different role. And so I have learned in our marriage and everything else to sort of trust that usually when he seems a little bit sort of off, that he's taking in a situation.
Now that we understand each other, it's very complimentary.
Yeah.
So we work better together as a team than we did individually.
Yeah.
And I think that's big in relationships, is to really understand each other and your processes and how your coping mechanisms are in, you know, and how you communicate that, like, this is what I'm going through, or, you know, and once you get it, I think that's half of the battle. You're like, oh, that's just, you know, that's just his thing. And I get it. And you go forward. Right. So you're not having constant arguments about it, which I think that's a huge problem nowadays, where people don't communicate or don't understand each other's cues, I guess you want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your social cues.
So that was just a big moment for us, I think, in terms of nurse, doctor, and then parent, and then all this other stuff. So that's kind of a big.
Yeah, I think that's when we started to understand more about each other as what makes us tick. And so understanding that, then all of her Lucy things, they still don't make sense, but I can understand.
You're able to look past them and enjoy them, and it makes life a lot of fun.
I don't know that that's the case. If you recall, Ricky was not always laughing at Lucy.
Exactly. He was like, Lucy? That was the biggest thing.
He was a little upset. So we usually start off that way a little bit. But then, that's Lucy. Lucy and Ricky.
That's great. Well, thank you so much, Sarah and Vaughn, for being on the show, Nurses and Hypochondriacs. And anybody who listens to the show will get one continuing education unit. So thank you guys so much. And I'll keep in touch.
Sounds great.
This is a great podcast, I think. Really good. You guys are very entertaining, great stories, awesome, and very educational as well. So
thank you so much.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. Thank you. Bye. Have a great Sunday.
Bye. 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 Bye.